Well, did you learn John 3:16? Right. God so loved that he sent his so that shall not perish but have. Amen. Right. Do you believe that? Okay. Is God just the God of the whiteies like me? Okay. Is God the God of all nations? Does he desire all nations to be saved? Okay. That's what we see here. We see that God is the one who loves the whole world. Jesus is fleeing from the aggression of the Pharisees, the traditionalism of the Pharisees. The Pharisees are stuck in doing things one way, and it's got to be done their way or no other. And we see that right through the New Testament. No matter where the gospel goes, the Judaizers say, no, you're doing it the wrong way, you've got to do it our way. So, but Jesus is fleeing from that, and he's going back up into where he came from, back to Galilee. And as he does that, he's got to go through no man's land. You know, that bit of the district where you don't really go. I'm not sure if you've got a place like that here in Tenterfield, but in Armidale, it's the area where, you know, the housing commission people are and the undesirables are. And that area that you don't walk through at night because it's not safe, you don't have an area like that here, do you? Not at all? Oh, gee. Praise the Lord for that. He's going through Samaria. Now, Samaria is the leftover after the exile. Samaria is the mixing pot of all the other nations got thrown into Israel during the time of the exile. And so you've got a mishmash of all sorts of people. They're the mixed bloods. They're the ones that, you know, the half-castes. So they're not really one or another. Well, no, we don't use those words anymore, do we? We're all politically correct. But, you know, these are the ones who are the mixed bloods. They're not pure Jews. And, of course, they wouldn't do things the right way. You know, they wouldn't do things the way that the Jews thought. And we see that coming out here. Right? The woman says, you're a Jew. What are you talking to me for? I'm a Samaritan. Jews don't talk to my kind. Do you know people down the street like that? People down the street who, oh no, you don't associate with them. They're the wrong family. They come from the wrong nation. They're newcomers. They're not traditional people. But what does Jesus do? Jesus goes up to the Samaritan, the mixed blood, and says, can I have something from you? Can I have a drink of water? Now, I think that's significant because who gave them the well? Whose well was it? Did you pay attention during the reading? Whose well was it? Jacob's well. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Rebekah, the Old Testament? Jacob was sent back to the home country to find a wife, and he went up to the well, and he stood by the well, and he said, Lord, send me a woman. And when I ask her for a glass of water, say that she's going to be able to water my camels as well. Now, that's a very courageous woman, isn't it? I don't know how thirsty those camels would be, but they can drink an awful lot of water. So here, we're hearkening back. It's not just the tradition of the last few years. It goes back to the founder of the patriarchs, the founder of the Hebrews, the founder of those who were the sons of faith. And so when they get to the well, Jesus says, will you give me a glass of water? And she says, what are you talking to me for? You don't talk to me. Because nobody talked to her. Because she's already had five husbands and she's got somebody who's not a husband now. Because she's treated like a lady of the night. She's treated like one of those that, you know, you don't even look at her and maybe you might catch something from her. And so she's gone out in the middle of the day, in the hottest part of the day, when nobody else would be around. And now Jesus has met her there and said, will you give me a glass of water? And then he comes to the crux. If you realized who was asking you, you would ask him for water. See, later on we see that the woman already knows that the Messiah is coming. Right? She knows that the Messiah is coming, but Jesus is the one who's right there right now. If you knew who it was, You'd be giving, you'd be asking me to give you a glass of water. But this is not just ordinary water, is it? The water that Jesus gives is living water. Do you know in the Old Testament the difference between living water and dead water? Dead water is that water that sits in the pools and you get the little wrigglers growing in it. Dead water is the stagnant water. All right? I remember my father telling me that he was so desperate that he had to drink that sort of water. All right? Had to strain it. And yes, we know that we're all about hygiene nowadays and all that sort of thing and how dreadful it is. But the living water, the water that flows from the streams, the water that flows down through the mountains, that crystal clear, crisp water, how sweet it tastes. And Jesus is saying, I'll give you living water. But not just any sort of living water. Because his living water doesn't flow from the mountains and the streams and the snow. But the living water that Jesus has is the water that flows from the throne. Now you flip over to the Revelation and you see the picture of God's glory, the picture of what heaven is like. And what is it that flows out from your throne and through the city? But the living water, the message of the gospel, that which brings salvation, that which cleanses from sin, that which comes to be able to bring God's people into presence with him. All right? If you knew who it was, you would talk to me and I would wash you clean. If you knew who it was, you would ask me for the living water and I would refresh your soul. If you knew who it was, you would ask me for this and I would give it to you. And there we see the statement of faith. Lord, give it to me. Give it to me so that I don't have to come back out here again. All right? She wants to be able to have the sin of the past washed away. I don't want to come back out here again. Of course she has to because, we still need to go down to Coles. We still need to go to Bilo and get our food, don't we? All right? Even though we could be sustained. But Jesus is not talking about just going to Coles and Bilo, not just getting your living water that you must survive on day by day, but the living water that cleanses the soul. But then she goes a step further. And she says, the Jews, that other mob, they say that we've got to worship in Jerusalem. And the Samaritans say, no, we're going to worship here on Mount Gerizim. And Jesus then draws out more faith from her. Right? Because, we get stuck in our traditions, don't we? Right? You know the difference between Presbyterians and Charismatics? Right, Presbyterians sing with their hands in their pockets. Right, and Charismatics raise their hands. Well, does it matter? No. Right. So, do you know what? You've got a lovely little organ here. During the Reformation, before the Reformation, that was banned from churches because it was the instrument of the devil. All right, and do you know why? Pews were in churches because they were the seats of the devil. All right? You had to sit on these hard seats. And before they had pews, we had to stand for the entire service. Now, you've got a lovely church here. All right? And boy, your seats are more comfortable than mine. All right? I wish I had your seats. It's great. All right? And it's so good to be able to see what's happening here in Tenterfield, all right? Because you must have been really sardined into the other building, your other church building, all right? Because we're almost sardined in here. All right? And do you see all the little children at the front? Praise the Lord, all right? That means we've got a future as the church is growing, all right? Because they're not the church of tomorrow, they're the church of right now, all right? And we're the church of right now as we grow in one family. And so what the Samaritan woman said, they say one place, we say another. But where is true worship to be found? What does Jesus say? You will worship in spirit and in truth. You will worship in spirit and truth. She says, I know the Messiah is coming and he's going to tell me everything that's gone on. She's a bit dumb, isn't she? Because what has Jesus already done? He's already told her everything that's gone on. And then she goes and tells her friends back in the village to say, I met a man who told me everything that happened to me. She knows that he's the Messiah, but needs that confirmation of faith. Needs that confirmation of faith. And sometimes we do too. Because, you know, sometimes I want to be able to just have things all my way because I'm comfortable in my way. And then I meet somebody who does things a bit differently and they don't like my way and I'm not sure about their way. But then there's one thing that we find out is that we're brothers in the Lord. And then it doesn't matter because we're all going to go to heaven. The greatest thing, Alison and I went to see our daughter overseas at Christmas time. And we went to a church in the middle of Switzerland. Right? And yeah, I speak zero German. And Swiss German is completely different to my normal German. But I went in there and the person at the door greeted us wholeheartedly and welcomed us in. And then they said, oh, we've got visitors. Oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, you can go into the creche room and interpret the service and we'll give you a headset so that our visitors can understand. So our visitors are part of the service. Our visitors are incorporated in because we're one family here. And I just felt part of the church. And you know, I couldn't speak any German, and so they had a couple of people come and talk to me in English, and they were practicing their English, and so it was a little bit difficult. But they wanted us to feel part of the family. The very next week, we went over to Edinburgh to a church where we'd been about 4 years ago for a few weeks. And when we walked in, it was like a long-lost son had walked in to the church. Welcome, welcome. You're back. How long are you staying with us? Right? It's great to see. Tell us what's been going on. Right? The family of God are those who worship in spirit and in truth together. The family of God are those who care for one another, whether they're this high or whether they're this high. The family of God who are focused on one thing. What was that verse? John 3:16. It's only one chapter earlier. God loved the world so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. We see that as the woman goes and becomes the apostle to the Samaritans. She goes to her own town and she said, do you think I've found the Messiah? He knows all about me. And I love that little bit at the end there. They came to check it out, right? They came to see what these people were doing, what this man was all about. And I hope that the people of Tenterfield are going to do that for this church here. They're going to come and see what you're doing, whether you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, do you follow the Word of God? Are you people who show the love of God and the family and that you worship together at the Word of God? And then they might say what these guys said. All right. They said to the woman, we no longer believe because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. See, in my town, we've got a whole lot of churches. I think there are 14 different denominations. All right, 14 different denominations. Right? And it's a bit like that old hymn that we used to sing. Right? You in your small corner and I in mine. Right? So, and everyone's got their own little groups and they all do things a little bit differently. Right? And some people, they use the prayer book and other people, they don't use the prayer book and some people have guitars and others don't and some people clap and others don't. But the one thing about is that we are all those who believe that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. You know, when I look outside the doors of our churches, there's only a very small percentage of those in Armidale who know and love the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure the same's true in Tenterfield. All right. What's our response to the Word of God? Our response is the same as this woman. All right. We go to our neighbours, to our friends, to our family, to our community, and say, I found the Messiah. And pray that they would come and that they would hear for themselves and proclaim, I have found the Saviour of the world. It's so encouraging to see you people here today. I don't remember the last time I was up. It's been a few years, Jim, since I've been up. And I think that we were jammed in. I don't even remember if we had as many children as that. It's beautiful to see the children. But let me commend a couple of things to you. Whatever you do, hold on to the Word of God as the inspired Word from the God Himself. Right? Continue to follow Christ's command. How will the world know that we are Christ's disciples? We love one another. The Old Testament says we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbour as ourselves. Jesus broke it down and said, love one another as I have loved you. Right? And go out into the world and proclaim the gospel, the living water, the water that refreshes the soul, the water that washes away sin, and the water that brings us into His presence. And pray that they would turn and be saved. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for faith that is engendered in all people, that you are the one who's come to redeem the world for yourself. Lord, we pray that you would make the churches of Tenterfield like beacons on a hill, that they would show your love, that they would hold on to the Word of God, and that they would continue to preach the gospel and continue to be able to proclaim your glory. Lord, all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to be able to commend the work and dedicate the work of God here. Last time I came into this hall, I think it was part of a lunch that we were having here. And we'd been over in the other building, and then we'd come across here. And to be able to see the differences between now and then, it's great. And I know that it's the hall, and you're doing great renovations, and things are not quite the way that they used to be. But we need to keep growing. We need to keep proclaiming the Word of God. And we need to keep loving one another. And that's what I see happening here. And things will change from time to time. So I want Jim to come up, and Jamie, and we got Jeff. Yep. So come up and come before us here. And I want to be able to pray for them. I want to be able to dedicate the ministry, because these are the men who you have to lead you. Right? These are the ones who have the vision. And if they have the vision, they want to give the vision to you. And if they give the vision to you, you can take it back to your families, your communities, and tell them about the ministry of the Lord God. So let's pray for the ministry here. Let's pray for those who lead us. Our Father God, we thank you and praise you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have entrusted it to reliable people down through the ages. And Lord, we thank you for the ministry here in the Presbyterian Church in Tenterfield. Lord, we have soldiered on long and hard over many years. Lord, we remember the days when we were only few in number. But Lord, you have blessed us, and Lord, you continue to bless us. Lord, I rededicate the work here in your name. Lord, make these men great leaders. Lord, add to their number so that we would see the session grow in strength and in number, and that we would see the ministry flourish, not only here, but it would be like the living water, that it would flow out from this place and the other churches right across the district and replant the churches that have closed and who have disappeared. Lord, we pray for your pastor, for Jim, that you would continue to draw him closer to yourself, that he would hold on to the word of God, and that he would proclaim the word of God faithfully to us here. We pray for Jeff and for Jamie, that you would inspire them and that you would continue to support them as leaders, and that you would continue to help them to pastor with Jim as he guides us and shepherds at this congregation. And Lord, we pray that in a few years' time, we would be so numerous that we would be bursting at the seams, that we would be a church that is incorporating many, many people, and that we would continue to proclaim your word, love one another, and say that Jesus is the Savior of the world. So Lord, we dedicate the work of God here. We dedicate ourselves, and Lord, we ask that you would continue to guide us, to strengthen us, and to grow us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jim, I'll hand back to you.